Get a horse and his wagon. Get a man and his rifle. Get a priest and his Bible. For them that's dead on arrival. Them that pray see heaven. Them that don't see devil. Separate but equal. Say them that slave my people. So break them chains and shackles. Come again. Get that horse and his wagon. Get that man and his rifle. Get that priest and his Bible. For them that's dead on arrival. Them that pray see heaven. Them that don't see devil. Separate but equal. Say them that slave my people. So break them chains and shackles. Not again.
He gets rattled. Watch this.
To look at this and say the reason that the Russian army is on NATO, the Russian army is at NATO's doorstep is because NATO has expanded rather than the Russians expanding. That, in other words, NATO has moved closer to Russia rather than Russia moving closer to NATO. Is that not an accurate way to look at this?
I think that's the way President Putin probably looks at it, and certainly not the way that we look at it.
You don't think that NATO has expanded eastward toward Russia?
NATO has expanded, okay. And the expansion has been a good thing for...
So the reason that the Russian army is at NATO's doorstep is not the fault of the Russian army, it's not the Russian army that's done it. It's NATO has moved closer to...
I'm pretty sure it wasn't NATO who was ordering, you know, upwards of 15 battalion tactical groups to within 10 kilometers of the border with Ukraine. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't NATO who put little green men inside Ukraine to destabilize Eastern cities.
I'm pretty sure that Ukraine is not a member of NATO. So, unless that's changed.
It's not changed. But I'm pretty sure the movement by Russia is Russia's
NATO, if NATO has moved east, the reason that the Russian army is closer or on NATO's doorstep is because NATO moved. Not
NATO is not an anti-Russia alliance. NATO is a security alliance.
Watch this. Watch. For 50 years, it was an anti-Soviet alliance. So can you not even see how the Russians would perceive it as a threat? And the fact that it keeps getting closer to their border while their troops, I mean, the places where their troops are, you say their troops are, and may have been in Ukraine and Georgia, are not NATO members.
I'm not going to pretend to know what goes in President Putin's mind or Russian military commanders. I barely got a history degree at the University of South Florida. What I can tell you is that NATO is a defensive alliance. It remains a defensive alliance.
Fair enough, but it has moved east. Correct? I mean, that's just a fact.
It has expanded, absolutely.
Right, exactly.
But there's no reason for anybody to think the expansion is a hostile or threatening move. And we've been saying that throughout the last 15 years, man.
It's like you're moving closer to Russia, you're blaming the Russians for being close to NATO.
No.
That's exactly what Hegel said.
We're blaming the Russians for violating the territorial integrity of Ukraine and destabilizing the security
situation. Which is not a NATO.
Other
countries feel threatened.
Yeah. Nothing makes me happier than when you actually see a really good reporter that has the balls to do stuff like that and isn't silenced because they're scared about losing their job. I love things like that.
But that's a guy named Matt Lee, that journalist.
Good guy named Matt Lee.
What are your thoughts when you see that?
Well, it's obvious that they don't want you to know the real history. They don't want you to know that when Germany was allowed to reunify, the promise from NATO to Russia was that we won't expand NATO. And then, of course, it did. I think there's 13 or something more countries that they put into NATO. And now they wanted to put Ukraine into NATO or threatened to do that. That would be like if Russia got into a military alliance with Mexico and they wanted to start putting military bases in Mexico. We wouldn't allow that. We wouldn't allow it. And just like what happened in Cuba with the missile crisis in the 60s, we wouldn't allow stuff like that. But we're doing that. And people don't want you to know that this NATO is not a defensive. It is offensive. This is a war that was started and provoked by NATO and the West. Zelensky ran on peace. He ran on bringing the country back together, right? The Russian speakers in the East, the Donbass, but he didn't do it. So why? Because he got threatened by NATO and the ultra-right, the Nazis in Ukraine. And so they threatened to kill. He knows he's a dead man if he does a peace deal with Russia. So that's why he won't. And when they had a peace deal in March, and that's when Boris Johnson from the UK flew there and said, hey, you don't do this. And he killed the peace deal. So Russia is the one that wants peace in this deal, and Ukraine and NATO do not. They want to bleed Russia economically, and that's why they blew up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And they
allegedly.
They've always said they were going to do it, and they did it. For the life of me, I can't get why the European nations are going along with this. They've said stuff like, there was the foreign minister of Germany said, I don't care about my people if they don't want this. I care about the people of Ukraine. What leader of a country says they don't care about their own people, but they care more about somebody else's country? It's crazy what's going on. So people don't realize that NATO has provoked this. In fact, there was a peace agreement in 2014. The CIA helped overthrow the Ukraine government, and then the people in the Donbass didn't want to go along with this coup government, right? Because the leader of Ukraine wanted to be friendlier economically with Russia instead of join like the European Union, and that they couldn't have that, right? So that's why they did a coup, and the people, the Russian speakers in the Donbass, didn't want to go along with that coup, and so they kind of wanted to break away. Ukraine government started shelling the Donbass, and so they had a peace agreement called the Minsk Agreement, and that was supposed to give them independence. They were supposed to have their own elections, and they were going to stop shelling them. They never did. They ended up killing like 14 or 15,000 people in the Donbass over the last 8 years, and now it's been revealed that that peace agreement was never real. Merkel, the former prime minister of Germany, just admitted that the only reason they did that peace agreement was to give Ukraine enough time to build up its military, so when they finally did provoke an invasion, which is what they did, that they would have a military ready to fight Russia. And so people don't know this is what happened. And so they just think that one day Putin woke up and said, I want to go invade Ukraine because I'm a maniac. And they think that he's the bad guy. They think that he's acting rationally. He's acting, we always knew he would do this. In fact, we were counting on him doing this. That's why we did what we did. And they don't know that Ukraine ramped up their bombing right before the war started last year. They doubled their bombing. They were really trying to provoke it, and they did. They provoked it, and the Russian would rather have a peace agreement. The rest of the world would rather have a peace agreement, not NATO, not Joe Biden, not the military-industrial complex. And so that's where we are. And people don't know that, and that's what that is. That guy's saying, hey, NATO's the ones expanding. The reason why, he said it, the reason why the NATO's army is on the doorstep of Russia is because we moved, not Russia. And it's just obvious that we're the bad guys. The United States are the world's terrorists. We have 1,000 military bases. You know, we have 400 military bases surrounding China since the Korean War. We just added 3 new military bases in the Philippines. They just announced 2 weeks ago. This is how all empires end. We're overextending militarily while we have people living under every bridge. People don't have health care, a living wage. Half the country can't afford a $500 emergency. 80% of workers live paycheck to paycheck. 50% of wage earners earn $30,000 or less. People go bankrupt when they get sick in this country. We have homeless people everywhere, and that's because our government is 100% corrupted. It's the people think that it's corrupted like, oh, Joe Biden gave his kid a no-show job on a Ukraine energy board, or Donald Trump gave his kid a deal with the Saudi. No. That's regular corruption. I'm talking about 100%. Everything the government does, it only does it because of corruption. And that's the only way the wheels get greased is through corruption. That's why we can send $100 billion to Ukraine without any oversight, and we still won't send it to our own cities to fix our homelessness or our bridges that those homeless people are living under. We won't even fix our own goddamn country. So people don't realize that this is pretty much a banana republic. We're at the end. This is the end of this empire. We're basically Brazil with a couple of big cities that are keeping it afloat.
You think so?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yes. Yeah, well, when half the country can't afford a $500 this is what I like to say. What do you call a system that takes the richest country the face of the earth has ever seen and renders half of its population poor and low income? You call that a failed system. And that's what we're living in. And people think we're going to be able to vote our way out of this. What we have to do is get people in the streets. So when someone like AOC has 13 million Twitter followers and Bernie Sanders says, oh, they're supposed to tell people to get in the streets, shut stuff down, protest, and take our government back. But they won't, because they're part of the system. And that's what I'm trying to wake people up. It's worse off having people like Bernie Sanders and AOC in the Democratic Party in government, even though Bernie claims he's an independent. He's a Democrat. Why is it worse? Because it gives people the false impression that there's somebody actually fighting for you in government, and there isn't.
So, okay.
And the only way you can have change and get people into the streets is when they lose faith in the system. And we have to get them, we have to disabuse them of the idea that there is somebody fighting for them in this system, and there isn't.
Can you play this?
Our next story is about the war in Ukraine. 2 years and counting. How and when will this war end? Can India be the peace broker? We ask because Ukraine is having a big change of heart. It is reaching out to India. After all the criticism, all the emotional outbursts, Kiev now wants India's help. On Wednesday, President Zelensky spoke to Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The Prime Minister agreed to support all peace efforts. He also promised more humanitarian aid. Zelensky, though, had a lot more to say. He invited India to the Switzerland Peace Summit. It's all the hype now. Switzerland is hosting a special summit for Ukraine. We do not have a date yet, but it could happen this summer. And who's invited? On paper, everyone is invited. Switzerland has asked all United Nations members to attend this summit. But let's face it, not everyone will attend. So Zelensky reached out to India. He says it's important that New Delhi attends this summit, and it's clear why. India has very close relations with Russia. So Zelensky is hoping that India will use that influence, maybe nudge Russia towards a ceasefire. But here's a bigger question. Will Russia attend the talks in Switzerland? All indications are that they will not. For starters, Moscow doesn't like what's on the table. The Swiss summit is built around Zelensky's peace plan, and that involves a Russian withdrawal. It's a non-starter for Putin. Secondly, Moscow does not like the host. Their foreign minister says he does not rely on Swiss services. He says Switzerland is not neutral anymore, and that's a problem. So what's the point of having a peace summit without Russia? You can imagine how it will go. All Western allies will sit at a table, they will pat each other on the back, agree to support Ukraine, criticize Russia, and job done. But what will it change on the ground? Absolutely nothing. And Ukraine knows this. They've seen how Western support is weakening, how military aid is drying up, and at the same time, how Russia is stepping up things. Vladimir Putin has just won an election. He's starting his new term with more attacks. On Thursday, Russia fired a barrage of missiles at Kiev. It was the largest attack in weeks. Around 17 people were injured. Many buildings and industrial facilities were hit. Another attack was on Kharkiv. Zelensky announced that 5 people had been killed there. You could sense some helplessness in his tone.
Necessary aid is being provided to every injured person, but this is not enough. Everyone must realize this. Kharkiv needs an adequate number of air defense systems. Sumy region needs it. Chernihiv region and all our other regions suffering from Russian terror need it.
So the tide is clearly turning, which is why Zelensky is exploring alternatives. It is a big climb down, though, because not very long ago, Ukraine was quite upset with India. You may remember what their foreign minister said in 2022. In fact, let me quote what he said. When India purchases Russian crude oil at a discount, they have to understand that the discount has to be paid by Ukrainian blood. Every barrel of Russian crude that India gets has a good portion of Ukrainian blood in it. That was Dmytro Kuleba in 2022, Ukraine's foreign minister. And their position was not too bad then, in 2022. A successful Ukrainian counteroffensive was in the works. The sanctions on Russia were piling up, so Kiev was a bit bolder then. But now it's very different. Some $60 billion of aid is stuck in the US Congress. European nations are battling a financial decline. So guess what this very same foreign minister is now doing? He's traveling to India. Again, we do not have a date yet, but reports say he'll arrive later this month. And this is big. India has not hosted top Ukrainian officials since the war began. So if Kuleba comes, it will be a first. And his agenda is quite clear: to lobby for India's support in the peace talks, to see if India can play peacemaker. But will New Delhi play along? More importantly, should India wade into this war? India's position has been clear and consistent. Prime Minister Modi has said that this is not the era for war. At the same time, India has refused to gang up with the West against Russia. Before speaking to Zelensky, Modi also spoke to Putin. He congratulated him on his re-election. He promised to strengthen relations and got an invitation to visit Russia. So Prime Minister Modi has an open invite to both Ukraine and Russia. How many leaders can say that? A handful at most. So New Delhi is well placed to mediate a settlement, and it has the chops. Just a few months ago at the G20, India overcame differences over Ukraine to get a joint statement. So India can engage in quiet, constructive diplomacy. Unlike some in the West who are given to high decibel jet-setting mediation efforts, India can play a role. But India must read the room first to see how sincere all sides are, especially Ukraine. They are on the back foot and in no position to dictate the outcome. Russia has spent millions of dollars and lost hundreds of soldiers in this war. They finally seem to have an upper hand, so you cannot expect Putin to just withdraw and cease fire. Zelensky will have to make concessions. If not, these trips and appeals to India are pointless.
Saudi Arabia are kicking Americans out. Interesting. All U.S. military bases in Saudi Arabia will be closed by the end of 2024. According to the King of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, he said all United States military personnel and bases in Saudi Arabia are expected to permanently leave the country by December 3rd, 2024. What is going on? Just in case you are not informed, over 14,000 American troops are currently stationed in Saudi Arabia. And the United States military base in Saudi Arabia is the biggest U.S. military base in the Middle East. Guess how much they spend? They spend $458 million to establish a U.S. military base in Saudi Arabia. These are the military bases that they use to spy on Iran and every other nations in the Middle East. Now Saudi have turned it all away. Saudi is a permanent member of BRICS, and BRICS countries are not supposed to keep U.S. military bases in our country. So Saudi have to pick a side. Saudi have decided to stay with BRICS. So therefore, Saudi Arabia have asked America to remove their military bases in the country by the 3rd of December 2024. Guys, do you think this is the end of the great American empire?
Vladimir Putin just told his entire nation that they now serve Black Jesus. Stop what you're doing, download this video, and share it on every social media site you can find, because this shit just got crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, people of Russia, today we stand on the precipice of a monumental revolution, a moment that redefines not only our understanding of history, but also the path forward for our great nation. In an extraordinary discovery hidden beneath centuries of lore and legend, we have opened what can only be described as the oldest vault known to mankind. What we found within its ancient confines challenges the very fabric of our beliefs and heralds a new dawn for our country. Within this vault, we discovered figures of biblical proportions, characters that many have read about, debated, and revered. These figures, preserved against the sands of time, reveal a truth that is as profound as it is transformative. They are all Black. This revelation, this undeniable truth, stands before us not as a contradiction to our faith, but as a testament to the diversity and unity that faith embodies. As your president, I see this moment not as a challenge to our beliefs, but as an opportunity to embrace a wider, more inclusive understanding of our history and spirituality. Russia, in its rich tapestry of cultures, traditions, and people, is uniquely positioned to lead the world into this new era of understanding and acceptance. From this day forward, let us proclaim our nation under the guidance of Black Jesus, a figure who represents not just the cornerstone of Christian faith, but also a symbol of the universal values of love, compassion, and brotherhood. This Black Jesus, whose likeness and history have been unveiled from the oldest vault, is a message to us all that divinity knows no color, that spiritual truth transcends race, and that our common humanity binds us more tightly than our differences divide us. Let this discovery remind us that history is not just the story of those who wield power, but also of those whose contributions have been overlooked or forgotten. It challenges us to re-examine what we know, to question our assumptions, and to open our hearts to the broader possibilities of understanding and faith. As we embark on this journey of discovery and understanding, let us do so with open minds and compassionate hearts. Let us build a nation that truly reflects the teachings of Black Jesus, a nation that stands for justice, equality, and love for all, regardless of race or creed.
Y'all see, fam, how? Let's go to Daniel 12 and 4. He said, the Most High had closed the book and put people to sleep so they won't understand the book until the awakening of his people. Now, you heard that in Daniel 12 and 4 in the King James Version Bible, right? Now, you hear President Putin, who's the president of Russia, going to his nation, his world, letting them know that there is no white Jesus. Jesus is black. Now, this is what y'all hearing now. The president of Russia, Putin, telling his people this. You heard it. Now, if you look at Russia, Putin is showing you all the history that they had got when everybody starts stealing our stuff. So they got our stuff down in their vaults. And he shows y'all the angels black and all this. Putin got a little wisdom now to be a non-pigmentation man. Now, check this out. What do you think about that? Black man and black woman in America, Latino man and Latino woman in America, and Native Indian man and Native Indian woman in America. What do you think about that? How do you flow with that when the president of a country, the United States, a big baller, the first strong nation, because Russia got that thing that United States ain't got, and Russia is that powerhouse. Russia moved to number one. That's what y'all don't realize. Now you see that thing out there, Russia, the big baller, telling his people, the president, that Jesus Christ, Yahawashi, is a black man. Well, how do that matter? Why do that matter? The Bible said that other nations will be coming and saying that they have been taught lies. So when you go up there and look at the scripture that the other nation will come and say that they had inherited lies, then you understand, because we're the true children of God. Because that makes, if God, Jesus, Yahawashi, is black, and if he's saying that it's black, then why is those Caucasian people that say they're the true children of God Caucasian? See, you got to think. You got to use some think. We got to build up our IQ of thinking as well, fam. IQ of history. IQ of knowing each other and knowing who we are. And IQ of the Most High. That's what we got to build up. That's what we got to understand. That's why we got to get out of our grump. You know what I'm saying? There you go again, Faith. You need to stop using me as an example. I ain't grumpy. You need to stop calling me grump. My name is Grumpy. It ain't grump. So stop using me as an example, Faith. Well, grump, you still grumpy. You know what I'm saying? You need to get out of your grump and get on up in here and do what you got to do, man. You see this. And it's more than what we see under the eye. You know, we could clean our eyeballs out so real clean and thinking we see everything, every snitch, every shadow. But do we? But do we, fam?
What is also important to note here is that there are multiple different entities that are man-made, and history is one of them, along with various types of science, technology, and even many forms of religion. All of these social engineering experiments were cultivated by the same exact one set group of people that I mentioned earlier in order to compel the masses into adopting it. The ideology alone of their manipulative theoretical motives programs an individual to become prone with limits to their literacy and critical thinking capabilities. Not only were these same tactics utilized in the past, but these detrimental effects are currently being depicted as the norm in today's society. This form of role reversal began with Charles Darwin and his followers when they began to promote and teach the theory of evolution during the 1800s. As you may know, the theory of evolution is a scientific method in which Charles Darwin states the process of natural selection and pseudoscientific blatantly racist information that he cultivated in relation to the world's population. Now, why would he do this? Well, it's definitely not about whether man came from monkeys, as society would love to point to you, so you can argue about this fictitious theory whenever it's brought up. No. It's more about the different traits of the human population, how different traits confer different rates of survival and reproduction, and also how these traits can be passed down from generation to generation. Now, you might be asking, so what does this have to do with our history being told to us in reverse? And my answer to that is everything. Because Charles Darwin created this theory of evolution not because of the apes, but because he was a part of it. In other words, Charles Darwin's pseudoscientific theory was used to manipulate people into believing that they evolved from apes. But in all actuality, he was endeavoring to figure out where his species of people came from.
See, you gotta realize that. Where was we, black man and black woman, in the 1800s? What were our forefathers? So we didn't have no soul. We didn't have no say in all this mess that they got going on. Right? We didn't have, you know, these theories and all this other stuff. So as all this information progressed and they started chiming into all this and grafting into these theories and ideology, and this is what we got now. And us as black men and black women, we took this and act like it was with us, right? It's like drinking milk and oil, and we continue forcing that down. And it continue going, coming back up. That's what we don't understand. These people, these wicked people out here with this ideology that now they say it is, but it really ain't.
This module will go on to formulate how this particular group of collective offspring will be able to continue forward in successive generations as the quote survival of the fittest. See, you have to understand where Europe is located. Before it was called Europe, that particular landmass was and still is a part of Africa. And all of this correlates with some of the many things that were told to you in reverse. Like, for example, the out of Africa theory. Now, keep in mind that I just explained to you the hidden details behind Charles Darwin's theory. And just like his theory of evolution, the entire out of Africa theory is merely nothing but an indoctrinated form of manipulative pseudo-storytelling that was cultivated by the likes of a self-proclaimed prominent but yet fictitious bigoted scientist named Melville Jean Herskovitz.
He said bigot. Don't slip on that, y'all. Bigot. If he got all that power and all that boom going on right now at that time, and he a bigot hating black people, only thing he worrying about is his people and the survival and the health and the wealth of his people, and he don't care about nobody else, especially the black man and black woman in America.
The apologists of the early 1900s, Melville is solely responsible for expanding the lies of storytelling, and which in turn it was later considered to be American history, by completely reversing the records of historic information and also creating a fictional story about African slaves immigrating to the Americas by way of the Spaniards during the 1500s. This story was later known as the Middle Passage. However, prior to Melville's fictional story, no information existed in history that clearly mentioned that the so-called Negroes of the American lands came from Africa. For example, according to an English immigrant by the name of Noah Webster, who was the author of the Webster's English Language Dictionaries, the year 1828's definition of American is, quote, a native of America, originally applied to the aboriginals, or copper-colored races, found here by the Europeans, but now applied to the descendants of Europeans born in America. Also, Melville allegedly took a trip to somewhere in Africa, meaning that there is absolutely no records of this, just the story, gathered up a few artifacts from there, observed a few tribes and a few cultures, and dubbed it as Africanism, then traveled back to the U.S., wrote a book called The Myth of the Negro Past, and published it in 1942 in the fictional section, where he claimed that the people of color in America somehow lost connection with their cultural past during the Middle Passage from Africa to the Americas. See, the people like Melville and the U.S. government, along with the U.S. public school system, wants you to believe that the lands of America were unoccupied prior to their arrivals. But the truth is that they were occupied by our ancestors, and not these people that they are referring to as Native Americans right now. Our ancestors were not of pale skin, but only dark to light brown skin complexions. The out of Africa theory, along with these fraudulent DNA tests from the 1900s, works hand in hand for one big reason. Because they were created by the same group of people that forced you to believe that you came from Africa, when in fact, millions of these Caucasians did not arrive to North America until the late 1700s. Hence the reason why the U.S. Census did not begin the population count until the year 1790. And all of those records between the 1790 U.S. Census and the 1830 Census were either lost or destroyed somehow. Side note, the Racial Integrity Act of 1924 gave government officials the permission to destroy those records to further hide the truth about who the real African Americans are, furthering the expansion of eugenics by manipulating millions of people into believing a lie. Another example of history that was told to you in reverse is that of the world maps. Over the years, several different maps were created, the majority of them to reflect imperialism and to exacerbate the size and importance of the ruling countries.
see, the Mercator projection has fostered European imperialist attitudes for centuries and created an ethnic bias against the Third World.
All world maps in today's history derived from the European traditional Mercator world map of 1569. And all of these maps are royally incorrect.
The map enlarges areas at the poles to create straight lines of constant bearing or geographic direction.
So it makes it easier to cross an ocean.
But, yes, it distorts the relative size of nations and continents.
Are you saying the map is wrong?
Oh dear, yes.
They are, in fact, flipped upside down and shown to you in reverse, with the current hemispheres misrepresented, meaning that it distorts the size of objects, or rather continents, and also misplaces the location of a continent's position on purpose.
Here we have Europe, drawn considerably larger than South America. When it's 6.9 million square miles, South America is almost double the size of Europe's 3.8 million.
Alaska appears three times as large as Mexico, when Mexico is larger by 0.1 million square miles.
Germany appears in the middle of the map when it's in the northernmost quarter of the Earth.
Boy, relative size is one thing, but you're telling me that Germany isn't where we think it is? Nothing's where you think it is.
Where is it?
I'm glad you asked.
This was done this way to give off the impression that the Western Europeans are superior to other races of people by being above the New World, or rather Third World countries.
Salvatore Natoli of the National Council for Social Studies argues, in our society, we unconsciously equate size with importance and even power. In our society, we unconsciously equate size with importance and even power. When Third World countries are misrepresented, they're likely to be valued less. When Mercator maps exaggerate the importance of Western civilization, when the top of the map is given to the Northern Hemisphere and the bottom is given to the Southern, then people will tend to adopt top and bottom attitudes.
Now y'all see what's really going on in this world, man. Psalms 83, 3 and 14. They have taken crafty counsel against our people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. So the scripture already said that's their crafty counsel. And that's what they did, because we are not Israel. Yes, it was our people in this land. Because Jacob had 12 sons. And the second, you know, the split, we split. And they went that way, and most of us once stayed in Africa. And some of our brothers and kinfolk was in here when the nation split. So of course, you know, don't get it twisted when people, you got to really think when people talking about was black people here, African American, yes, because they did craft the council and it was already our people over here. And then to be an Indian, when they was Indian, they had to be serviced as Negroes and stuff. And you see how he said they had burnt up all the information. These are the crafty counsel. These are the wisdom of the earth that y'all want to apply your mindset and spiritual guidance to. I keep telling y'all this. The earth is given to the hands of the wicked. Did you see any wickedness in here?
Hey fam, what's up?
this fades. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at Phase 380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/phase5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in the thought of process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram, Phase 380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty.
And I certainly don't think that black people should just expect racism because white people are going to stop being that way. There's plenty of people that are still going to be that way. But just because I'm white or we're white doesn't mean that we are.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's literally what that means. Look, my fellow rice cakes, I'm going to say something out loud that you would probably prefer I kept to myself, but we are terrible at self-examination because we are obsessed with being perceived as good. We are good people with good intentions who do good things, and we know that racism is bad, so we're offended by the mere insinuation that we could be capable of dehumanizing anybody. And that line of thinking right there is why we continue to take L's left and right, because you can't confront a problem if you don't acknowledge the problem exists. Listen, you are not evil and bad because you were born white, and no reasonable person is saying that you are. What we're saying is that it is a problem if you don't acknowledge what it means to have been born white in a racist society. It is a problem if you're not willing to examine the privileges, I know we all hate that word, but the privileges, the benefits, and the means of insulation we inherit by virtue of being born white. And it's not that we can't experience other disadvantages, including some that we may share with Black, Indigenous, and other people of color. We can be discriminated against on the basis of our sexuality, our gender, our physical abilities, our economic status. There are plenty of reasons why a given white person might grow up in a shitty situation. But the color of our skin has never, ever, ever, ever been one of those problems. And if you can't say that out loud, then you're being racist. White folks, we have to disabuse ourselves of this notion that to be racist is to walk around throwing out the N-word left and right. That's not what that means. Racism sleeps. Racism waits. Racism is little things that you don't even know that you're doing until somebody tells you about it after the fact. If you could always see racism from space, then we, and by we, I mean white people and only white people, wouldn't have been so shocked over the last few years to discover that so many of our loved ones are big ol' racist bags of shit. Because one, racism is subtle, it sneaks up on ya, it manifests in tiny ways, and two, we never had to interrogate those behaviors because we were insulated by racism.
Listen, bigotries of all kinds often manifest unconsciously, by accident, and the only way we can catch it, the only way we can be vigilant, is to rely on other people to let us know and then to build our experience around that knowledge. If you can just get comfortable with the fact that prejudice is an inherent part of the human experience, then getting feedback about it will involve a lot fewer tears and heartbreak. In conclusion, my fellow Snowmericans, to be good is to accept your limitations and be okay with being wrong.
Breaking news! As of right now, it's not looking too hot or too good in the streets for Israel and America. Why? Because it looks like they're taking more L's than dubs, baby. Let's go ahead and get into it. As far as I'm concerned, the Middle East and the Eastern Hemisphere, they shooting three-pointers from mid. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's looking like L's is getting passed around. L's, L's, and more L's. Okay, let's get into it. Israel's Army Chief of Staff, one of the main culprits of the genocide in Gaza, will resign later this year, stated the Jerusalem Post. Yikes. Now, this comes shortly after Gantz resigned in the middle of this war due to there being several arguments and fistfights between Bibi and his actual military cabinet. That's crazy. Now, when Gantz left, several other high-ranking military members also decided to resign. So now Bibi is he's stuck with only two-thirds of his team, and their strategies are just out the window at this point. And then on top of that, Israel's Army Chief of Staff is resigning later this year. That means that not only is there knowing that they lost this war, but they know some shit's coming down the pipeline. Like, they are fully aware that there is punishment and L's coming down the pipeline, and that man is resigning because he don't want nothing to do with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? They know that the walls are closing in, and he's trying to skedaddle before punishment's passed around. Baby, that ain't gonna work. Ain't finna work. As long as you had something to do with what happened to them Palestinians, baby, they're gonna come after your ass. They coming after you. It don't matter how far you run and how quickly you run and hide. This is the same shit we saw when it was, you know, D-Day in Germany, and one by one, them people started, them soldiers and like the high-ranking military officials, one by one, as each day passed, more and more of them kept resigning and kept escaping to South America and several different parts of the world. Yeah, we're on to y'all shit. Y'all know y'all lost the situation, and now y'all running. We're not stupid. We are not stupid. Y'all trying to hold the line by continuing to go into several different parts of Gaza so that we keep our eyes on that while y'all sneak away. Y'all lost, and y'all are going to jail. You're going to jail. We will literally look for you at every corner of this earth and make sure that you are brought to justice. To jail underneath it is where you are going. In addition to that, BRICS has called on the Middle East to stop using the U.S. dollar for oil trade settlements. Damn! I mean, it's bad enough that the United States is losing so much support when it comes to the top, you know, ranking companies and corporations that really rake in the billions of dollars annually. But on top of that, now they also have, the United States also has to worry about several countries that wants to be involved with BRICS. The only way they'll be able to be involved with BRICS is if they let go of that U.S. dollar. I mean, we knew it was coming down the pipeline, but to see it happen live and in action, that's crazy. Imagine the stories we're going to be telling our grandchildren about how the crazy and brave Middle East stood up to the United States and the great Western Hemisphere and stood up to Israel and sided on the right side of history and tore down the Western Empire. Ooh, yikes. That is crazy. Now, everybody knows the stories that America be telling the whole world about America the Great and all this, that, and the third, but just like the Roman Empire, baby, the bigger you are, the harder you will fall. Ooh, yikes on a bike. And since we're talking about the Western Hemisphere of the Earth, Canada stopped selling arms or stopped trading arms with Israel, and they no longer support Israel's right to defend itself. Why? because they were never defending themselves. I'm sorry. Actually, they did defend themselves when Hamas was whooping their ass, but baby, that was barely even anything. Child, the way y'all tried to defend yourselves, we saw it on videos of y'all training, and baby, I don't know. I just don't know. And that's where I'm gonna leave it, because I saw them training videos of the IOS soldiers and seeing them trip up them steps as if they were Jody Joe was quite literally hilarious. If that didn't tell you that you weren't God's favorite, baby, you tripped up the steps in the middle of a drill holding a gun. That right there should have let you know that maybe I need to reevaluate some of my life choices. I don't think I'm on the right side of history. I almost ended my life in the middle of a drill. This don't feel like I'm one of God's favorites. It don't feel like that. And I just think that maybe we should reevaluate this, you know? But that's just me. Kudos to Canada for finally standing up and saying, you know what? We should probably go ahead and hang this up. Put it on the hook, is what I say. Put it on the hook. And if that wasn't enough, baby, China and Russia has reached an agreement with Yemen and the Yemeni forces regarding navigation in the Red Sea. So basically, they've agreed that none of China or Russia's ships will be attacked or approached by the Yemeni forces as they enter and exit the Red Sea. God damn. Now, we've already seen this live and in action, seeing as though China has had, I think, about 3 ships coming and going in and out of the Red Sea since this stuff happened on October 7th. Now, the Yemeni force have had the Red Sea on lock, and now they've expanded their operation far beyond the Red Sea into the Indian Ocean, okay? So now they have full cooperation on both sides with China and with Russia. And now it's looking like, you know, they're all in cahoots together, which we knew this for a while. We saw how they was moving. We predicted it, that they was in cahoots together. Baby, the way Yemen's about to stand up out of this situation, the way Yemen's about to come up out of this situation, mind you, America just got done bombing Yemen. And now Yemen about to come up. Yemen just hit a lick. And they about to make that shit hit. They about to get their lick like times 10 against America and Great Britain. Baby girl, Britain, you're in danger. You're the closest to them. You're in danger, beloved. America, you're not too far behind. Y'all in danger. You in danger, girl. I don't know how else to say it. You can't see the writings written on the walls. I don't know how else to say it. Not only can you not get your oil shipments, but you also getting your boat stolen. You also got all your ops linking up. They all linking up, honey. Making deals, and they told everybody, if you want to be on the winning team, if you want to eat at our table, you gotta let go of that U.S. dollar. Guess who operates off that U.S. dollar? The United States and Israel. Baby, it's getting rough in these streets. Being on the wrong side of history is getting rough in these streets. Let me know what y'all think down below. All right, so here's some more updates on that situation. So we gonna get to the juicy part, but let's go ahead and touch base on this first, okay? So Hamas basically reached out and was like, look, we know for a fact that America did this, like, and that Israel had a role in it, okay? We're not stupid. We know what the fuck y'all did. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, y'all literally keep repeating the same play over and over and over again and trying to dress it up as something different, and we're not dumb. Y'all also did it to y'all own people, so at this point, like, it's like, hang it up, girl. Come up with some other strategy, because all signs are pointing directly back to you, and the fact that y'all trying to say that this was ISIS that did it is definitely sounding like y'all copping pleas. Nothing but please. It's just please, 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 and more please. You got more excuses for what the fuck you're doing than actual owning up to it, and it's out of alignment and what you're like with what you're showing
yourself to be to the whole world. Like, you claiming that you're America the big and bad and great, but when it comes down to take accountability for your actions, all of a sudden you blaming it on somebody else and copping please. All of a sudden you crying to everybody else talking about how they was bullying you. It's not enough. And I for one say kudos to Hamas for catching on game, because like at this point, come on now. So basically, they released an official statement stating that they condemned the attack that happened on Russia. They were offering their deepest condolences. They condemned, in the strongest terms, the terrorist attack that targeted civilians in the Russian capital of Moscow and left dozens dead and wounded. Mind you, this is when they first found out, okay? We extend our sincerest condolences to the Russian leadership and people and to the families of the victims of this criminal attack. And we wish a speedy recovery to the injured. And we express our full solidarity with Russia, its people, and the families of the victims in the tragedy. Okay, so basically they said, we know what the fuck going on, we're not stupid, okay, we're not dumb, we're watching you closely. All right, so boom, Big Poop mad. Big Poop is not playing, okay? He's upset right now because now he got to answer to this shit to his own people. So basically He basically said, like, I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing, but I'm going to handle this shit first. And trust and believe, I got the best of the best folks on this situation. On the situation. And when news come down the pipeline, when I get certainty, I need you to know everybody getting clapped the fuck up. Matter of fact, send some shit over to Ukraine just in case to let them motherfuckers know I'm not playing. This man sent a Russian cruise missile to the largest dam plus energy facilities in Ukraine, took out a bunch of shit for millions of people in Ukraine. He said, okay, America, I got you. I see what type of game you want. I got you. Don't even worry about it. Literally destroyed the infrastructure for millions of Ukrainians. They all in the dark right now. Ain't got no internet, no power, no access to running water. They got none of that shit. He emptied all that shit out and said, now fuck with me. Fuck with me. What's up? I got what you're looking for. Fuck with me. I was trying to be cool. I tried to keep it cute, but you wanted to play in my face. So now your homies gotta suffer, okay? And if you want some smoke, run down on me. Run up when you see me, bitch, if we gonna see. Let me know what it is. Cause I got what you're looking for. And if you try me again, I'm right back on this motherfucker ass. Play with it. Let me know what it is. Mind you, China and Iran just told America, you fuck with Russia and I'm gonna beat your ass. You better hope and pray I don't get to you. You fuck with Russia and I'm gonna fuck you up. So, I don't know how America gonna swing this lick back. I don't know how that's gonna work, beloved. I don't know if that's even gonna be possible because you got too many ops, girl. You stay doing shit. And at this point, if Russia, China, and Iran end up jumping the shit out of us, fuck it, we ball. Fuck it. They could literally run up in our shit and I'd be like, you right. You right. What you want me to do? Like, you don't even have to say surrender. I surrender. You right. I feel you. That's who America. You right. Like, I'm not arguing with you. Honestly, take a look around. Do it look like I got anything that makes me want to be proud to be here? Do it look like I'm wrapped in an American flag? Like, fuck is you talking about? You saying that and we saying the same thing too, bro. Like, do what you gotta do. Like, if you need to use my place, use it. Like, do what you gotta do. Like, I'm not stopping you. Okay, because I can barely afford the rent. I can barely afford my bills. The fuck? Like, what do you mean? Like, please don't come over here and try to jump the shit out of America or try to jump the shit out of the government officials and expect us to fight you back. Because I promise you, we're going to sit right there and be like, you right. Just so you know. Them bunkers is over there. You need some water? You want me to make you a ham sandwich or something on your way? Because you might gonna need some snacks or some shit for the road. We boycotting all the good shit, so all I got for you is some pop chips, but I got a couple clementines and cuties in the refrigerator if you need it. Make sure you eliminate my student loan debt. And just go ahead and clear off all my debt. Just fuck up the whole, just fuck up Experian, TransUnion, all of them. That's all I ask in exchange for these cuties, because they are expensive. Just fuck up the student loan debt, okay? Just go ahead and erase all that shit. Can I? You right. You right. Breaking news. I was finna call it a night, because they really went out the way. Like, they really OD'd banning both of my accounts. But fuck it, we ball, because ain't no bitch finna scare me up off my set. Fuck out of here. So with that being said, breaking news. All right, let's get back into it. So where we left off at, we was putting the pieces together at how this was happening at the same time as the UNSC draft deal vote, as well as the, you know, what's going on in Al-Shifa Hospital, what's going on, the decimation of the Palestinians in Rafah, and several other things that all connect back to Rafah. And they're basically just small fires that were simultaneously set all at the same time to prevent us from focusing on the real big fire that's going on Rafah, okay? Because Israel has promised to go into Rafah, and they have promised to decimate the Palestinians, okay? Using those words verbatim. So basically, this is like one of the biggest things that are going on right now, because as we speak, the death toll of the people that were trapped in this fire as a result of the terrorist attack that ISIS took blame for, but we all know that America has something to do with it, Israel has something to do with it, and the Mossad has something to do with it. The death toll has risen and reached well over 72 people. 72 people, okay? Now, just so y'all know, Putin has addressed this, and he basically said, if Ukraine had anything to do with this, I'ma fuck you up. I need you to know that. That's a promise, okay? Because it was fun, but now you done pissed me the fuck off. This shit was fun, I didn't even break a sweat, but you done pissed me the fuck off now. If I find out that you had something to do with this, I'ma fuck you up. Just know that. So here's where we see, you know, the people that's running. This is back at midday when on the death toll was only at 40 people. It's up to like 72, 75, somewhere around there. And as I stated before, ISIS claimed responsibility for it, but we all know that's bullshit. Now here's where things start to get a little messy, because I'm like, how did I miss this piece? I knew there were other little fires around somewhere, but where are they getting the information out to us? And why don't we know what the hell is going on? Okay, so this is from the Telegram channel. The Americans have practically opened two fronts to operate in Syria. Mind you, remember, Syria kicked America the fuck out and sent them packing. Told them, don't you come back, bitch, because if you try, we're going to whoop your ass, okay? We got our homie Big Poot on the way. Big Poot with the loot and them heavy ass pockets. He on the way with all his homies, and we're ready for whatever. So let me know what you want to do, okay? So America came back, and they opened up two fronts to operate in Syria. Mind you, this shit is illegal because Syria said you're not allowed to be there, okay? Primarily against the Syrian Arab army. So basically, they opened up two fronts. They opened up gunfire against in like two separate areas against the Syrian Arab army while Putin's back was turned and focused on what's going on over there. You see how they moving and shaking? The strategy is to break down everything and divide and conquer. That's literally their only strategy. That's always their only strategy. Divide and conquer. But it's like the lamest strategy of life, because we can literally fucking see you in real time. Like, we see what you're doing. It's okay. And against the resistance axis in general. So basically, they're trying to get all their strongest placements back in the Middle East. But basically, the Syrian army said, ain't finna happen. We ain't going for it. Fuck out of here. The first is through terrorist organizations, Al-Qaeda affiliate, Al-Nursa. And the second is through ISIS in the Syrian desert. So if ISIS is in the same place as America, and ISIS is the ones that saying they did the attack in Russia, but the only link between ISIS and Russia is America, You definitely knew what the fuck was going down long before it went down. You warned Russia, which means that you were in on the plans. Like, be fucking for real. Basically, real almost daily bad news have been occurring in the recent period. I chose to speak on this because it links directly back to all, everything that's going on. And they said that there's been no media coverage on it, which means that America knew long in advance that this would connect the dots back to what's going on in Russia and would further connect the dots back to my original theory that they're literally starting little fires everywhere to keep us distracted in other places while they are making chess moves. Basically trying to take back another front in Syria, trying to regain their strongest areas in Syria. Mind you, America don't have no fucking oil. They out of oil. So they trying to get back into Syria so they can steal from Syria again. Yeah, we see you. We're not dumb. Also, Syria said, that's a bunch of bullshit. It was not ISIS. It was definitely America that did that bullshit in Moscow. We know exactly what type of time you on. Mind you, Syria and Russia was in the same place. They was both in Golan Heights at the same time. At the same damn time. So they both worked together. So Syria on game. They know exactly what the fuck going on. But they're wondering why nobody's paying attention. It's because there's been no media coverage on it. Because the American government don't want us to know what the fuck is going on over in Syria. And how they basically been trying to make... how America's been trying to make chess moves. Trying to bully the Syrians into giving up their oil and giving up their land. America, why the fuck are y'all in Syria? Why are y'all in Syria? I'm so confused. Why are you back there when they made it perfectly clear they don't want you there? Help us understand that. Because what does Syria do to y'all? I'm sorry. Why are you in Syria? Yeah, we see you. Uh-huh. We know that y'all up to the same old bullshit. They do this shit all the time. Lord Jesus. Oh, good God Almighty. And they think they slick. And the best thing I've seen yet on the internet is this statement. Israel is losing public support for their genocide. So all of a sudden, some white guys claiming to be ISIS attack Russia. Strange that ISIS has never attacked Israel. And ISIS is supposedly an Arab organization. So if that's the case, how come they have never attacked Israel? Yeah, we're not stupid. This has got 9/11, whatever team, whatever organization, whatever federal organization took part in the planning of 9/11, the sloppiness of the details, the sloppiness of the entire thing, this has got that written all over it. Y'all don't even have, like, y'all got audacity to do this shit. But you're not smart enough to clean up your breadcrumbs in the trail. There's always a trail. And I think that they believe that they did a really good job at cleaning up. But the one thing they never paid attention to was the fact that we would all start looking into the alternative and the opposite. And how closely the opposite directly aligns with normal American government behavior. Which directly points to the fact that that's not a conspiracy. You actually are fucking evil. And you actually are paying for several different genocides. Like, that's true. You're evil and you're the problem. I don't know. Let me know. Breaking news. Okay, so I sacrificed my morning and was on X all morning because honestly, y'all think TikTok is something? Y'all should see all the drama that be going on X, especially in the comments. It be crazy. But I love when I basically can go back and forth between Telegram and X and get the tease. It's basically like a timeline. Just be like boom, 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 boom. And then you can, like, you know, do a comparative analysis, basically come up with your own conclusions and stuff like that. So let's get into it, okay? So the last place we stopped off at, because it's getting real in Moscow, The last place we stopped off at was, the body count was at about 120 for the martyrs and the victims of this terrorist attack that happened at that music hall in Moscow, right? So, update, there's more than 130 deaths, and I would like to send my deepest condolences. Honestly and truly, I would never wish this on anyone, not on my worst enemy. That is just such a tragedy, what happened at that concert hall, and they are continuously in my prayers, okay? Now, moving on. So since then, they worked like a who had them working round the clock. Do you understand what I'm saying? They was working round the clock because ain't no way in less than 2 hours they found the people who did it. Like, the men couldn't even go nowhere. That's how badly they had Moscow on lockdown. Do you hear what I'm saying? So they caught the dudes who did it. Let's get into it. Lord, so I'm you know, covering him up because he's in the hospital bed, but he's not fully dressed, and I want to make sure, well, I just want him to, you know, keep his humility. Like, I ain't trying to embarrass him or nothing, but here's one of them in the hospital, and baby, he found all three of them, and they started singing like a bird. Do you understand what I'm saying? They was literally bumping their gums. One of them was shivering in the video. Like, that's how terrified he was, because when I tell you that the Russian army is nothing to play with, the stuff y'all see in movies about the way that America tries to depict Russia is nowhere near as bad as what they truly are. Like I said, I've seen some of the videos of what they've done to the Ukrainian soldiers. Believe me when I tell you, that's not the type of motherfuckers you want to go up against. They're a different type of nasty, okay? Nasty work. And they could care less about your feelings. I don't think they have feelings, okay? So they start singing like a bird, all right? About, so, boom. So basically, this is one of them too. That's the one that was shivering, right? So basically, they said, oh, we were hired. We don't know who it was that hired us, but we were hired by somebody, and they said they would pay us $500,000 US dollars. Do you understand what I'm saying? They arrived in Russia from Turkey, and they was supposed to receive 5,000 US dollars, but 500,000 rubles in order to get the job done, right? And they told them, you know, to go in people, no matter what kind. They didn't care what they looked like, just as long as they made it a big explosion or made, you know, noise with it. And they were contacted on a group Telegram. Now hold on, because this piece of information is important. And also, boom, 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 right there, this and Turkey, all of them, they all, it's gonna make sense. Just hold on. The place was named unanimously via Telegram, and the weapon from the cache was handed over by the person who ordered the attack. Report says he received 250,000 rubles up front. Basically, you get half up front, half when you finish the job, if you make it back, okay? Because this is a kill for hire situation, or hire for kill. You know exactly what I mean. So ISIS basically said, oh, we did it. Mind you, that's not typical ISIS behavior. This is screaming Mossad behavior. It's not screaming ISIS behavior, because now they're coming out and saying that they claim responsibility for tonight's terror attack at the concert hall, and they said that they claim they were trying to target a bunch of gathered Christians. So now it looks like a religious war as opposed to just a typical genocide. Also, they basically use Russia because Big Poop in America's eyes is getting too big. So of course, they going, you know, to the homies, they all plotting and scheming. Just wait, you gonna see how I came up with this determination, because it's crazy how it all plays out. So Jody Joe comes out and says, you know, we strongly condemn the terrorist attack that happened in Moscow. Mind you, we all know who did it. Like, we're not dumb. We are fully aware that the U.S. and the Mossad had something to do with this. We see how y'all moving and shaking. And also, mind you, ISIS is controlled by the U.S. and by the Mossad, or by Israel. So now this is the key component for me. This is how I was able to link this shit together. This was the glue right here, and this is where y'all fucked up at. So the IDF was forced to admit that they were actually running a Telegram channel where they were laughing and mocking Palestinian civilians and children with snuff films of them being killed, ran over, all that stuff. This is identical to the same group that they have going on WhatsApp, where they're doing the same thing. Mind you, we ignored them. What did they do? They followed us over to Telegram, not thinking that this is a Russian-owned app. So we got idea soldiers on here, knowing fully well, like, hey, this is where all the other side is, like the pro-Palestinian people are. They are usually on this one, right? So they not even thinking straight. And then they do something as stupid as a murder or for hire, you know, murder for hire, hire for murder. Y'all know what I mean. On the same app to make it look like it came from some other source. But everybody already know that it's y'all. You see what I'm saying? It's linking up. Like, all the signs is there. It's all leading. Y'all leaving a trail of breadcrumbs. Like, y'all not even... It's insulting how stupid y'all are, but I mean, that's just me. Like I said, it's purely speculation, but to me, there's no way they can cover this up. This is all evidence. Like, to me, it's plain and clear, and the writing is written all over the walls. Let's finish going through it. Mm-hmm. All right, so boom. So Poop said, baby, that's your ass. Because now, some information that came out that they was murdered, you know, they did this, it was murder for hire, or hire for murder, whatever, which one it is, off the Telegram group that's Russian owned. Okay, so he's sending his boys, they get to the Telegram group. Obviously, they start finding more information. And they, you know, previously, the IDF had denied ever running that group. But now these folks are saying that they was hired off Telegram. They running IP addresses. They running all that shit. And believe me when I tell you, they got some of the world's best hackers. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't care how good you think your firewall is. Russia don't fucking play when it comes to that shit. Russia do not play when it comes to hacking none of that shit. They got their whole grit on lock dizzy. Stop playing with it. How you thought he was coming? So obviously, once they tracking shit down, it's tracking back to the right people. I'm telling y'all, y'all gonna see. Okay? Because he said a death for death. And he basically came out and was like, you know, forced the IDF, like, either you gonna tell him or I'm gonna tell him, but somebody gonna fucking tell him that y'all really running that group that you lied about. So now the IDF came out and was like, yeah, it was us. We was running that Telegram group that was full of us, like, purposely running over Palestinian bodies and all this inappropriate stuff that goes against the idea that they are defending themselves and that they have not committed any war crimes whatsoever. This man forced them to come out and admit to it. He said, either you gonna tell them motherfuckers or I'ma tell them. Because if I gotta tell them, baby, I'm bringing you to the podium and you don't want me to come and get you. Because it's war. I'm coming in either way. It's war now. Oh, y'all think I'm playing? Vladimir Putin has just declared war. That man said, enough is enough. Y'all done pissed me the fuck off. It was fun. It was fun at first. But now y'all done pissed me the fuck off. In his speech, he stated, this was a bloody terrorist attack. Mind you, his fuck ass decided to go and, you know, say something. I strongly condemn the terrorist attack in Moscow. But in my head, this was him being petty as shit. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. This man said, we will identify, boom, they track that shit, and punish everyone behind this crime. It's not, before y'all start, it's not hard to track an IP address. I'm telling y'all, it's not hard. A lot of y'all don't know that your IP address is literally located on the back of your router. And a lot of the times y'all think that just because you and no one else around you can see your IP address, that no one else can track into it. It's, or, you know, literally track your IP address. It's so easy. Mind you, they got the world's best hackers. So, yeah. Terrorists only await revenge and oblivion. He means business. He said, that's your ass. Y'all gonna see? And no future. Oof. Let me know what y'all think below, child. It's getting real.
That land I gave you, put my name in it, my home. Yeah, that's my home, Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I made a promise, can't nobody take it. I chose to put you above all the nations. Out of your graves, I chose to awaken. We made a covenant, don't you forsake it. Come get protected while they going crazy. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. I woke you up in your land of captivity. I do not change, I want you to remember me. Laws and commandments, I gave you the remedy. Go read the testimonies for your memory. I sent them prophets, but you wasn't hearing me. I come to you if you really come near to me. I heard your cry, now it's time to take it. I'm the one got you from all of your enemies. Ooh, you know, open the sea. Them waters was bitter, but I made it sweet. Case you ain't know how to swim, I'm your protector, so I made you walk on your feet. This a reminder you married to me. I just want you to be all I called you to be. They called you niggas, but I made you priests. I'm about to give you back everything. I'm sending plagues for you. I'm sending boys, drying up rivers. I leave them dead for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. For you. You only have I known. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name in my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel. I'm the reason you in captivity. We made a covenant, you ain't remember me. You broke the covenant, I sent your enemy. Get out my land since you wasn't fearing me. I'm the reason they put you in chains. I'm the reason they switched up your name. I'm the reason why you in the hood. I'm the reason of all your pain. I'm sending flows fast, daily. Think I don't love you. Y'all my babies. Gave my son. Must be crazy. Come out that system, come out of that lane. They got that military, it would not faze me. It would not move me. It would not graze me. Remember Egypt. I did all that for my people. You only have I known. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name in my home. Yeah, that's my home. You only have I known. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name in my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel.